Lord, it's my pleasure to welcome you to God's presence tonight. We are very grateful to God for all that He has done for us, for His love and for His support to us, and for the first day in this glorious, glorious celebration. To Him alone be all the glory. God will indeed visit you in the name of Jesus. I say God will indeed visit you in the name of Jesus. I say God will indeed visit you in the name of Jesus. You are blessed in Jesus' name. I welcome all our pastors, our ministers, and everyone that is a guest that have come here to worship with us tonight. God will bless you in the name of Jesus. In the course of the meetings, we'll take time out in the course of the days to appreciate and to recognize people. As the service goes on. Quickly tonight, we'll go straight to the Word of God. I'll be speaking on destiny transformation via divine visitation. Can you take care of that? Destiny transformation via divine visitation. The theme of this program is divine visitation, and God indeed will visit somebody in the name of Jesus. If that person is here, let that person shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that person that God will visit is here, let that person shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. From our anchor scripture, Job chapter 10 and verse 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. What is divine visitation? Divine visitation is a session when God makes himself known in a powerful way in the life of a person. Divine visitation is when God makes himself known in a powerful way in the life of a person. Number two, what is divine visitation? Divine visitation is when you receive a how can this be miracle from Jehovah, from God. Divine visitation is when you receive a how can this be miracle from God. Luke chapter 1 verse 34, the Bible was speaking there that Mary was visited, and she said, Mary said unto the angel, how can this be? How is it possible for a person who has not slept with a man to get pregnant and to produce a savior? Divine visitation is when you receive a how can this be miracle? How is it possible? How can it happen just like that? That's what they call divine visitation. Divine visitation is when you receive a how can this be miracle from God. And of course, divine visitation is when God makes himself man's guest and man has the honor of hosting God. Divine visitation is when God makes himself the guest of a man and gives the man the honor of being the host. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13 to 14, the Bible is speaking there that the ark of God was placed in the house of Obed-Edom. The Bible says for 3 months. So David brought not the ark home. So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in this house 3 months. Just 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. This is when God visits somebody's house and you now become the host of the Almighty God. You become the host of Jehovah. He is the guest. You are the host. Somebody is here. You will host the Almighty tonight in Jesus' name. And of course, what is divine visitation? Divine visitation is a surprise from heaven to the earth. It's a surprise from heaven to the earth is when heaven gives the earth surprise. When heaven gives a family surprise. When heaven gives a destiny surprise. When heaven gives a single lady surprise. When heaven gives a woman trusting God a baby a surprise. When heaven gives a young man trusting God for a breakthrough a surprise. Get ready for surprises tonight. Get ready for surprises from heaven tonight. It is a pleasant surprise that blesses you and a visitation of anger against your enemy. Divine visitation is a visitation that blesses you, but is a visitation of anger against those that hate you. Those that hate you, they are in trouble in this period because they will be thoroughly judged. I said they will be thoroughly judged. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Divine visitation is what moves you from sorrow to joy. It's what moves you from sickness to health. It's what moves you from the back to the front. You must realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when we are talking about success and God visiting a person, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, we must know that by strength shall no man prevail. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not of your own strength. It's because of God's grace. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 9. And of course in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happening to them. It's not about your qualification. It's not about your body physique. It's not about the school you went to. It's not about who you know. It's about who is visiting you. God is visiting somebody here today. I say God is visiting somebody here today. If you are that person, say a louder amen. If you are that person, say a louder amen. If you are that person, say a louder, louder amen. If you are the person God is visiting, say a louder amen. If you are the person God is visiting, say a louder amen. Examples of people that have been visited by God. Number one is Sarah. Sarah. Sarah in Genesis chapter 21, verse 6 to 7. Genesis 21, verse 6 to 7. The Bible speaking there that God visited Sarah. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. All that hear will... Somebody is here today. People will laugh with you. I said they will laugh with you. Everybody will be surprised at what God will do in your life. Say a louder amen. I say everybody will be surprised at what God will do in your life. Sarah was already old and God surprised her. Somebody is here, God must surprise you. I say God must surprise you. Say a louder amen. Another example of somebody that was visited by God is Mary. Mary was visited by God. Luke chapter 1 verse 46. To 48. Luke chapter 1, 46 to 48. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Somebody is here today. All generations shall call you blessed. All generations shall call you blessed. Say a louder amen. Another example of somebody that was blessed by God mysteriously is Paul and Silas. God visited them inside that prison. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25, all through to 32, there was a mysterious visitation of Paul and Silas. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's band was loosed. That is somebody's testimony here today. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Something happened here. God came down in himself to visit Paul and Silas. The Bible said they prayed, comma, and as they prayed, they went into praises. And suddenly, the visitation of God, more often than not, is very sudden. That's why you must be sensitive. That's why you can't be in church and be pressing phone at the same time. The visitation of God is very, very sensitive. God can appear suddenly. Somebody's here, God will appear to you suddenly. I say, God will appear to you suddenly. In the way you cannot imagine, God will appear to you suddenly. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Also, God appears to people and visits people positively. He also visits your enemies suddenly and negatively. The Egyptians, another example of people that were visited by God in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verse 27 and 28. Exodus 14. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. All of your enemies in these 5 days, God will wipe them out. Say, not one of them was remaining. Everyone was wiped out. Someone is here today. All your adversaries shall be wiped out suddenly. You will just be hearing news. You say, those people that hate you, they are already gone. This one that hates you, they are already gone. This one that is calling your name for evil, they are already gone. Say a louder amen. What are the advantages and benefits of visitation? What are the advantages? Number one is help. The first benefit of the visitation of God is help. Psalm 121 and verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh the help? My help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Help is one of the first things that happens when God visits you. When God visits you, suddenly the help of God comes for you. It doesn't matter the area that you are struggling. Right now, the help of God will appear for you in that area. In that business, that career, that ministry, that family life, help of God will appear for you suddenly in the name of Jesus. The children of Israel were in captivity for 430 years. For over 400 years, they were in captivity. In Exodus 3, Exodus 3 verse 5 to 7, suddenly God said, I've heard the affliction of these people. I've heard their cry. Exodus 3, 5 to 7. Somebody is here. You have cried to God. God will hear you suddenly. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. In verse 7, particularly, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. The prayers you will pray in this particular period will go direct to heaven and you get answers instantly. I say you will get answers instantly. I say you will get answers instantly. Your imprisonment will not last because God will help you. I say your imprisonment will not last because God will help you. Barrenness will not last because God will help you. Singleness will not last because God will help you. Joblessness will not last because God will help you. Many are here who are into business and they lack contract, they lack jobs. That has come to an end in this period. God has visited your business name already. I say, God has visited your business name already. In Psalm 30 and verse 5, the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody is here, your joy has come. I say, your joy has come. Number two benefit of God's visitation is positive change. Anywhere God visits, there is change. When God visits you, there's a change. When God visits your family, there's a change. When God visits your life, there's a change. When God visits your destiny, there's a change. When God visits you, he changes your ridicule to miracle. He changes your pain to gain. He changes your tears to laughter. God can't visit you and then nothing will change. Immediately God visits you, there is a change. Somebody is here, there will be a change in your life. There are some of you, from the quality of the food you eat, God is going to give you a higher quality from this time. I say, God will give you a higher quality from this time. Say a louder, louder amen. Say a louder, louder amen. You know, there's something they call balanced diet. Something they call manage food. Just to manage. Let me just manage. Just in those days, I don't know if they still do it. There's something we call concussion. They just concuss. They just put some little, just put some small vegetable oil or palm oil inside it. Then you begin to say, you pour water so that the thing can go. Somebody's here, there will be a positive change in your life this time. Say a louder amen. When Joseph was visited, he changed status from slavery to being a prime minister. There was a change in his life suddenly. In somebody's life here, there will be that kind of change. Very soon, they will be signing before they can see you. Recently, somebody has been trying to see me for quite a while. He eventually saw me. He wanted to sell books. He said he heard that I normally write, I like reading books, and he brought some books. And he's been coming to see me. He couldn't see me. Anytime he comes, I'm quite busy. So eventually he saw me. He said, I finally meet you, sir. Seeing you is like seeing the president. I said, yes. You are right. You are right. You are very right. Very, very soon, somebody's status here will change. If I'm so less busy like that and I'm just walking up and down, then how will I be able to do the work I'm doing? So somebody's here today. There will be a positive change in your life. I said there will be a positive change in your life. Number three benefit of God's visitation is open doors and the removal of limitations. Open doors and the removal of limitation. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. For a great door effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. When God visits you, doors must open. Doors must open. There are many here. It's only in the learning they are calling you for jobs. They will start calling you from one place to another now. Nobody here will become a local champion. I say you will not become a local champion. Your business tentacle will spread all over the place. Say a louder amen. When God visits you, doors must open. That was what happened to Paul and Silas in Acts 16, verse 25 to 26. When God entered into the prison, all the prison doors busted open. All the doors that was already shut with iron, everything was cut asunder. Get ready. That door that you have been trying to open for long, that has been shut against you, it must open this time. I say it must open this time. It does not matter which door has been shut against you, Jehovah must open it this time. Say a louder amen. It doesn't matter the door that Satan has shut against you, that door will open suddenly. You will be having a commotion of testimonies. I say you will be having a commotion of testimonies. You will be having a commotion of testimonies. Say a louder, louder amen. Number four, benefit of divine visitation is protection and preservation. Protection and preservation. In Psalm 91, number 7, the Bible says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand. It shall not come near thee. Listen to me, friends. Don't allow fear, because that is the trademark of the wicked. We are in times when things are happening in our nation. We are in times when all kinds of happenings are everywhere. But I want to tell you, he that is with you is greater than he that is with them. So don't believe that something can happen to you. Don't believe that the wicked can destroy you. You are undestroyable. Yes, some might have been destroyed. You might have heard about it. It's already in the Bible. Say you will only be hearing about it. It will not get to you. you can only hear that it happens on, but not with you, not around here. Say a loud amen. The devil's trademark is fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. As from today, fear will never be around your life again. So I say fear will never be around your life again. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 21 to 28, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were protected mysteriously. He said, then these men were bound in their coats and their horses and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselor, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, they say, we hear it, they say the fourth man in the fire. Actually, God is the first man in the fire. He's not the fourth, because if he got there after them, they would have burnt before he got there. He's the first. He got there before they got there. He was already in the fire before they got into the fire. That's what they call visitation. God is already there. The place you are going, God is waiting for you there. So the devil is a bastard. He doesn't have power over your children. He doesn't have power over your wife. He doesn't have power over your business. He's the first man in the fire, not the fourth. He got there. He was waiting for them. Guys, come inside this AC. This is AC at top range. AC blowing very well. Come inside, guys. Let's have some fun. And they were just strolling there. They said, hey, so let's discuss the next evangelism. What's the next strategy we are going to use to be able to capture the city? What are we going to do for us to dominate this place and to bring people to God? What's the next strategy? Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Somebody say, shame on the devil. When God visits you, you are unconquerable. You are undestroyable. As from today, the protection of the Almighty, the protection of Jehovah shall be strong on your life and on your family. I said the protection of Jehovah shall be strong on your life and on your family. Number six, benefit of God's visitation is increase and prosperity. The class of the kind of person that visits you determines the class of blessing you receive. It depends on how massive the entity that visits you is that determines the level of resources that comes to you. God can't visit you and coins will drop on your table. God can't visit you and then something that is rubbish is now around you. Immediately he visits you. One of the signs that Jehovah has visits you is that you become pocketically loaded. When God visits you, because he cannot allow his child to in Yoruba, there's something they call rumpa. That is to be stinking, to be desecrated. That is you will now see somebody that God visits. This one. That's why your Christian testimony must have substance. Until they see substance, they will not believe. There will not be, nobody will believe that God has visited you until they see that God has done something remarkable in your life. Get ready. Stretch your hands here. Resources beyond understanding. Resources that will terminate poverty for life. That is your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will not suffer again. That resources be released to you today. The level of resources that will put an end to lack for generations that have not been born. That is, your children cannot finish spending it. Your grandchildren cannot finish spending it. And your great-grandchildren cannot finish spending it. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen. Take us in 1 minute. In Genesis 26, verse 12 to 13, Genesis 26, verse 12 to 13, the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year, and what? An hundredfold return. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became what? Very great. He became a very great man. Those who are looking down on you, they will soon be disappointed. Do you know that this is not all about you? I said this is not all about you. Those that think that you are already finished, they are deceiving themselves. Those that think that you have reached retirement already and you are about to just stay at home and be doing nothing, they are already disappointed. Because something great is happening for you. I say something great is happening for you. I say something great is happening for you. It doesn't matter how bad the past has been. It doesn't matter how tough the present time is right now. The future shall be great for somebody here. Let that person say a loud amen. Let that person say a loud amen. Let that person say a loud amen. And of course, I'm on number one now. Number six. Now, this is very, very important because this one is so key to your destiny. Divine visitation brings destruction / judgment on your enemies and adversaries. Divine visitation brings judgment. It brings destruction on your enemies and on your adversaries. Somebody say a big amen. Just like God blesses, God is also a God that can destroy the wicked. He brings judgment on evil people. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Deuteronomy 4, 24. For the Lord God, thy God, is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. He is a great God. He's a loving Father. He's also a consuming fire. Our God is good, but he's a God of vengeance. Somebody say God of vengeance. In Psalms 94, verse 1 to 2, Psalm 94, verse 1 to 2, the Bible speaking there. Oh, Lord, can we read it together, everybody? 1 minute. Oh, Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Oh, God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show thyself. Lift up thyself. Thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the what? Proud. What is the reward of the proud? Destruction. What is the reward of those that want to kill you? Those that want to kill your children. Those that want to scatter your life. Those that want to plant sickness in your body. Those that want you to die before your time. God is a God of vengeance. He's a God of vengeance. He's a God of vengeance. And he's ready to exercise that power in somebody's life here tonight in Jesus' name. If you are that person, say a loud amen. You see, God is a loving God, but you see, don't toy with him. And that's why it's very dangerous to toy with those that God loves. Once you notice that God loves somebody, the best you can do is to be a friend to that person. Don't be an enemy to that person. Because if you are an enemy to that person, you are facing God direct. What is vengeance? Vengeance is intense punishment afflicted in return for every wrong done to an individual. Vengeance is intense punishment in return for every wrong done to an individual. Intense punishment afflicted in return for every wrong done. That is when people try to destroy your life, God sends his vengeance on them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Seeing it is righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is a good thing. It is a normal thing for God to repay. That's what they call recompense. To repay evil for those that are against you. Somebody is here today. Those that have vowed to destroy your life, there will be a recompense of evil against their life. Say a louder amen. The devil does not want you to go forward except there's vengeance. And that vengeance will require God's visitation. The enemy does not want your children to do well. The wicked do not want your enemy, the wicked do not want your life to go the way God wants it to go. That's why you must not be a Christian that is gentle, that is so, that doesn't want to shake the table. Matthew 11 verse 12, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you are not ready to take it by force, the enemy will not give it to you. The enemy will not allow you to fulfill your destiny except there is vengeance. Somebody shout vengeance. Tonight, God of vengeance will arise. I say God of vengeance will arise. All the suffering that they suffered your family, tonight they will pay for it. All the suffering they suffered you when you were young, tonight they will pay for it. All the suffering that the wicked made you suffer before you got married, they will pay for it. All the suffering they made you suffer in your husband's house, they will pay for it. Say a louder amen. The wickedness of the wicked in your life must come to an end. Psalm 7 and verse 9. Psalm 7 and verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Let the wickedness of the wicked in Nigeria, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. In our nation, the wickedness of the wicked must come to an end in the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder, louder amen. As I prepare to round up before we go to pray tonight, how to assess divine visitation? Give us a few points under that tonight just to introduce this topic. Then we'll go into a session of intense prayer tonight. How to assess divine visitation? You must know that nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. No good thing just happens as an accident. Anything you see as an accident is not a good story. So if you want a good story, nothing just happens. What do I need to do? What is the action that I need to put forth before there can be a reaction for God to visit me? Number one is sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving is painful giving of something dear to you. Sacrifice are always painful, yet they are always gainful. Everyone that is a sacrificial giver is a candidate of God's visitation. God himself is a sacrificial giver in John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3 verse 16. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. If you want visitation, you must not be stingy. If you want visitation, you must be liberal. The liberal soul shall be made fat. God visit those who are liberal, not those who are stingy. If your desire is to enjoy God's visitation, then you must be a liberal man. You must be a liberal woman. In Genesis 22, Genesis 22 verse 16 to 18, God was speaking there about the man called Abraham. God swore concerning him, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou art done this thing, and at all we tell thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Somebody say a big amen. This is a product of sacrifice. God appeared to him one day and said, that's your only son, that son you value so much, okay, come, I want to suck his blood. And Abraham did not tell his wife. There are some people, when they want to do things, they say, I must first get approval from my wife. If everything you are doing must first get approval, especially in the area of giving, you want to get approval from your wife first, you might not be able to be blessed. A lot of times I would have given a lot of things before my wife even knows. A lot of times, it is people that will be telling me, please help me thank your wife that she did this for me. I did not know. If everything that you do as a giving, you have, I want to get approval first, then you look for stamp for your husband to stamp it first and sign it, then there's no way. Sacrificial givers are those who are ready for God's visitation. from today, that will be your testimony. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4, from verse 4 and 5 particularly, the Bible is speaking about Solomon. That Solomon loved the Lord, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offering, and Solomon offered on the altar. And in Gibeon, what happened? God visited him. That same night, the same night Solomon gave, that same night, God, not people will go to mountain area and there, I want God to visit me. Yeah, they are not givers. You want God to visit you? Ensure that you are liberal towards God, liberal towards those who are around you, within the capacity of what God has given to you. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Number two, key to God's visitation is a lifestyle of praise and worship. A lifestyle of praise and worship. A lifestyle of praise and worship. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 to 22, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 20 to 22, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they had begun to sing and to praise, and the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Your enemies will smite themselves. Your enemy will face themselves and kill themselves. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Do you want God to visit you regularly? Then be a God praiser. Praise him lavishly. Praise God in a way that is beyond human understanding. There are some people, it's a long time you went on the floor. You are so big. You have become so big, your knees can't knee down. What? You have become so big, you can't roll on the floor for God. You have become so big, you can't lift your hands in worship. What? You want God to visit you? Your praise life must be intense. Your praise life must be intact. You wake up in the morning, you are praising. You're on your way to work, you are praising. You're on your way to school, you are praising. You are cooking in the kitchen, you are praising. Your entire environment is saturated with the praise of God. That will be somebody's testimony here today. God is quick to visit homes of his praisers. He comes unannounced before you. You did not even say, "God, come." There's some people will always be singing, "Wah, wah, wah, and me, wah. Wah, wah, wah." They will sing, "God will not come," because they did not praise God. They are only telling God, I need you. Come and do something in my life now. Come and do something in my life now. Come and fix my problem right now. I need money. You give me money or I move to Yahoo. You see, God cannot be harassed. God cannot be harassed. God cannot be harassed. God cannot be harassed. So let your praise of God be intense. It will visit you naturally. It will come into your house naturally. That will be somebody's portion from today. We are rushing for time tonight, because tonight is an opening night and somebody's life must wear a new color. I say somebody's life must wear a new color. Somebody's life must wear a new color. Let me give us just one more. Then we will move with intensity tonight. How to access divine visitation number three is a lifestyle of prayer. 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 Prayer is the bridge that connects God with man. Every praying Christian is a Christian that has access to visitation. Jesus prayed to the extent, the Bible says, his sweat was like droplets of blood. He sweat. Somebody should pray. And the person is sweating, and his sweat is like blood. The Bible says he will wake up a great hour before the day. He will go and pray. Sometimes he will separate himself from his disciples and go and pray. He was a man given to prayer. No wonder in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 9, Matthew 7, 7 to 9, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receiveth; he that seeketh, findeth; he that knocketh, the door is opened unto him. So when you ask, you must receive. When you seek, you must find. When you knock, the door must open. Tonight, every single thing you ask God, Jehovah will give it to you. That thing you came here tonight with as a burden, Jehovah will do it for you. Did I hear somebody say amen? So prayer is a privilege that God gave to man to solve the problems of man. Prayer is the privilege that God gave to man to solve the... So your problems are solvable. You don't need to be going helter-skelter. You don't need to be changing church like you are changing shirts. Wake up and pray. Get up and pray. The praying Christian is the winning Christian. The praying Christian is the one that will achieve his destiny. Tonight is the beginning of the greatness of somebody in the name of Jesus. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you appear in the place of prayer, you obtain something. Tonight you will obtain. I say you will obtain and you will retain it. You will not only obtain it, you will also retain it. Say a louder amen. You will not only obtain it, you will retain it. That's a word for somebody here. What you have received will not drop off from you. That pregnancy will not be lost. That blessing will not be lost. That appointment will not be lost. That progress will not be lost. That future will not be lost. Say a louder amen. You will obtain it. And you will retain it. Take your seat 1 minute as I get set to round up. Prayer prepares you for divine visitation. Prayer prepares you for divine visitation. And of course, God promised to honor our prayers in Psalm 50 and verse 15. Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me and I will answer you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. In the day of trouble. Shout a big hallelujah. I still have a lot to say, but because of time, rise up on your feet tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.